This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Shout out the World Wide West. Everywhere we go, we leave a worldwide mess.
I'm a roll with my man William Wesley, World Wide West, and Leon Rose.
The West is one of the most well-respected and connected people in the basketball community.
Larry Brown, the Hall of Fame coach, former coach of the Knicks, said that the Knicks hiring of William Wesley, a.k.a. World Wide West, could be the thing that actually changes everything and makes them a great organization.
Getting someone of that stature, character into our organization is something that's going to benefit us greatly.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so when Larry Brown says something, it gets my attention. He's seen it all. Hall of Famer, only coach to have a championship in the NCAA and the NBA. We know all the resume, and Larry is nice enough to join us now. Larry, it's Michael and Don. I hope you're doing well.
I'm safe. My family's safe. It's nice hearing from you, Michael.
Well, good to talk to you as well. I saw the story in the Daily News, and it got my attention, Larry. Why do you think hiring World Wide West is such a good move by the Knicks?
Well, I've known him, I don't know, I think when I was recruiting for Kansas, going into Camden, and developed a relationship with him. And the biggest thing is everybody trusts him. He doesn't seek any attention at all. He's all about helping kids. He's a problem solver. He's just a really decent person. I've known Leon, you know, since I coached in Philly. I got to work with Scott Perry when I was in Detroit. And I've had this long-term relationship with Wes. And I, you know, Michael, you probably know as well as anybody, ownership, management are so critical in order to be successful. And I think they've developed an unbelievable team. You know, I was there, didn't do so well, but it was nobody's fault but my own. But I think Wes's reputation, you know, in the basketball community is phenomenal. People love him, respect him. I think the thing that has surprised me, Michael, I spoke to him. Yeah, I speak to him all the time, but when Leon first took the job, there was a rumor Wes was going with him. And I spoke to Wes for a long time, and he told me that he didn't think he'd do it because he felt he was able to help young kids and young coaches in the position he was in. And if he ever took a job with an organization, it would limit that. And I thought that was pretty good reason for him to, you know, be staying where he was behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden, you know, I see the announcement, and I spoke to him, and he's still concerned about that. But, you know, he's 55 years old. He has a great relationship with the people, you know, with the Knicks, and he's got a career change, and I think it's going to be a good one.
Larry, you mentioned the respect he has in the basketball community. The Knicks' problem has been being respected as a team by free agents, that this has not been a destination. Do you think that this hire can change that?
Oh, I definitely think so. You know, I think with the people that they have, you know, they didn't get the superstars, but they got some assets last year in terms of the guys they signed. You know, I didn't know if they matched or not, but you know, some of those guys could have gone to other places, and they chose New York. But I think with the relationship Leon has and the elite players that he's handled, and a lot of the ones that, you know, we don't even know about that he's really cared about, and then the fact that Wes has always been kind of like a troubleshooter. You know, when I got the Philly job, Wes had an unbelievable relationship with Allen. Which helped me. He was always there for both of us. When I took the Detroit job because of him. I had opportunities other places, and our relationship was pretty strong. He wanted me to come there. You know, Rip Hamilton and Wes are family, and I trusted him, and it was an unbelievable, you know, decision for me to make, and one that really turned out really positive. And there were issues in Detroit where him being around, being able to talk to some of the players about me and how I was always helpful. But I think you guys hit it on the head. The NBA needs the Knicks. New York has the most knowledgeable and passionate fans they are in the league. They love the sport. And I think every player you talk about, they'll all tell you the highlights of their year is playing in the Garden. And I think with the group of people they have around them, with an owner that's willing to spend money and give you the resources, I think it's going to be a destination for a lot of guys that want to come to New York and be part of that.
We're talking to the legendary Hall of Fame coach, Larry Brown, here on the Michael Kay Show. It's so important to ask you these things because you've been behind the curtain, so to speak, Larry. You've seen how it works with the Knicks. So since you know Leon so well and since you know William Wesley so well, can they speak the language of Jim Dolan and get to Jim, and can they all work together? You think that they have that capability to do that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Donnie Walsh and I were – real close. We went to school together and coached together. And he hired me with Indiana. When he had the opportunity to go to New York, I told him to go. I told him it was going to be great for him and just establish a relationship with Jim. Don't let anybody get between you two, because Jim wants to win, wants to give you the resources to do it. And I think Leon, Wes, and Scott understand that. And I think Jim's given them the opportunity to do it the right way. And he'll support them. I know he'll do that. Mike Woodson and I go way, way back. I haven't traded Mike, which he never lets me forget. But we were together in Detroit with Scott. I told Mike, when he had an opportunity to go with Mike D'Antoni, I said, just make sure you get to know Jim Dolan and spend time with him and make sure he knows what's on your mind, and you're going to really enjoy the relationship you have. And, you know, Jim paid him an extra year, even though he didn't have to. And if you hear Mike talk about him, that relationship was great. So I think Wes is aware of it. You know, Scott's aware of it, and Leon's aware of it, and I think that group together is going to make this a situation where I think, like you said, guys are going to want to come to play, and they have every opportunity to be successful. They have 3 first-round picks this year. You know, people are critical of the draft, not saying there's a lot of great talent in it, but you can't judge a draft until down the road. They got a lot of young players. I think I counted 8 or 9 guys 23 or under or something like that. And some of them really, really talented. This pandemic has hurt their growth a little bit, you know, missing 17 games. But I really think they have the assets. They have the name New York, and they have an unbelievable, to me, management staff. So I'm hopeful that, you know, people will see what I see.
Larry, what do you think the challenge will be for the new head coach to work with a team that literally won't play a game from March until possibly late December?
You know, I'm worried about the start of the season. You already see some cases in Orlando. And in our sport, you know, people are so close. And I don't know how they're going to keep everybody in a bubble and keep everybody free of this virus. I think it really is a factor for the 8 teams that didn't get selected to go. So I hope the NBA would give those 8 teams an opportunity to get together multiple times, maybe like they have in football. And, you know, before they really go to training camp. The challenge, I think, is they got to go out and get some free agents, I think, because when you have young players, as much as you can do as a coach, you know, to mentor them and to coach them and teach them, if you have older guys that are really good people and demand things from themselves and can teach these kids how to grow up and be pros and be responsible, it makes the head coach's job so much easier. I remember, you know, when Michael took over for Mike D'Antoni, he had Jason Kidd and he had Kurt Thomas and he had Rashid. And he had some young guys that a lot of people said were difficult to deal with. Well, those three veterans, I think, really solidified that team and gave that team a chance. Unfortunately, I think they lost to Indiana, but they had beaten Miami 3 out of 4. You know, that was a really good team because they had those three guys that taught some of these young kids how to act, how to behave. You know, when I watched The Last Dance, the thing that hit me right between the eyes is whatever Michael Jordan said to his teammates and asked them to do, he did. And if he had a voice, they couldn't say anything because this is a guy who went out every night, tried to win every practice. He tried to get better. He demanded so much of himself that it was easy for him to make demands of the other players. And I think the Knicks need that. I think they'll be able to find some people with Leon West and Scott to come there and help some of these young kids that I think have a chance to really be pretty good.
All right, this is a totally out of left field question, but I respect your opinion so much. You've got Popovich, who's 72. You've got D'Antoni, who's 69. Alvin Gentry, 65. If Larry Brown, who's 79, had a job in the NBA right now, would you be reluctant to coach now? Would you be afraid of the virus, even in the bubble of Orlando?
My kids, I'd be afraid because my kids are afraid. They got me on lockdown.
they're smart.
To be perfectly honest. You know, I love smelling the gym. I love being around players. I want so badly to share what I was taught. I'm so thankful I've had this opportunity to, you know, coach the best players, you know, and have the best assistants sit next to me and learn from the best coaches. I'd probably take the risk, but I don't think my family would allow me.
Do you think this could work, the whole bubble thing? I mean, are the temptations too great for people to get out of the bubble and go out and have fun?
Well, this might be a little off base, but I remember the only time we ever had a chance to win when we went to Miami, Michael, was I tell the players, hey, when we fly in, you know, go to bed tonight, and then we won't leave right after the game. We'll leave the next morning. You know, because if you came in and they had a night on the town, you know, you're not going to win in Miami. So I don't know. I think a lot of these, well, I can't say. I respect what I hear a lot of these guys talking about. I know what an NBA championship means to players. And I think there'll be a lot of them willing to make a sacrifice. But I think it's going to be hard, just the nature of our sport. I got a call from SMU the other day. They just allowed kids to come back and to work individually and no more than a group of three with one coach. And after the second day, three kids came down with a virus, so they can't start till July 20th now. Wow. And I just am really worried about whether they're going to be able to control this situation. I know fans need it. I'm happy we're going to see baseball. I know fans need sports to, you know, give them something to feel good about. And the NBA is certainly, in my mind, watching an NBA game is something to feel good about. But I'm worried like you are. Sounds like you are.
Yeah. I think everybody is. Larry, if Moving forward, well, I don't know if the NBA will consider this, but would you be okay if the NBA, after the pandemic, just started around Christmas and played into the summer and just changed when the season's played?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea, to be honest with you, because, you know, they're going to need time to see about this virus, to be honest, and then I don't think there's anything wrong with starting. You know, when I was in college, we never started till after December. So I don't think it would be a bad thing, you know, to wait and go a little bit later. You know, people love basketball, and if there's a good team out there playing, I think they'll watch. I just like to see a lot of these guys get a chance to get their bodies right. You know, I'm a little worried. You know, it's amazing. I coached against Michael his last game when he was with Washington. I coached Reggie's last game in game six in the playoffs. I think I coached Charles Barkley's last game when he got hurt in Philly. And I coached the game when Michael came back, you know, after baseball. His first game against Indiana, he went 6-for-27. He never was in the kind of shape that, you know, we were used to seeing him, and they lost to Orlando. I think these guys are going to need time, you know, once this is over, to get themselves ready and to see where we're going with this virus.
All right, now I've got two quick ones before we let you go. You've been so kind to give us your time. You mentioned The Last Dance. I know your North Carolina connection. Who's better, LeBron or Jordan?
You know, Michael, to me, is the greatest. I have so much respect for LeBron, but I get so upset with this thing about comparing great players. Bill Russell, you know, if you think of all the championships he won,
yep,
and the contribution he made to that team, and he played against Wilt maybe 15 times a year. Shaq maybe played against Olajuwon twice, or David Robinson twice a year. I see how good Jerry West was, or Oscar Robinson was, or Bob Cousy was, or Julius. David Thompson. I mentioned David Thompson. People don't even know who the hell I'm talking about. So I find it really difficult to compare. The one thing I'll tell you, when we watch games now because of the pandemic, when you see the Lakers play Boston and you see Philly, you know, play Boston, or the Lakers, and you see Houston, you don't see any young players playing.
Right.
The league to me is really watered down compared to the way it was, you know, when there were a limited number of teams. Wilt Chamberlain played for my ex-coach, Coach McGuire. I think he missed 8 minutes of the whole season.
That was load management.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And if I had taken Allen Iverson and told him, you got to have some load management, can you imagine? It wouldn't have been about practice. We would be talking about games, you know, 22 times. But I think LeBron's phenomenal, and I'm so proud of some of the things he's doing. You know, he built a school, and he stands up for some really things that are really important. But, you know, Michael, to me, Michael did things that are unbelievable. Here's what people forget. He went 3 years of college. He missed 2 years to play baseball. That's 5 years. Then you look at Kareem. He scored 38,000 and change. He missed 4 years. You know, Wilt missed 4 years. Russell missed 4 years. So I don't know. I just think it's hard to go from, you know, year to year and then tell me who's the best player of all time. I'd have a hard time, you know, coming up with that one.
All right, here's the final thing. We'll have some fun. I know you're a baseball fan, so it was Billy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lou had a couple of turns at it as well. We've had Larry 1 with the Knicks. You're very close with Leon and with Worldwide West. Why don't you become the Knick coach again? You're ready. You have stuff to give, right?
I didn't do a really good job, Michael, when I was there, and I'm kind of ashamed of that. But I just want to get back and help in any way I can. I don't need to be a head coach. I just want to share with young coaches and young players what I was taught, because I played for Dean Smith, Frank McGuire, John McClendon, Alex Hannum, Pete Newell. I mean, I can go on and on the people that have influenced me. And then the people I sat next to, you know, people talk about having a tree. I got a forest. So if I could help anybody improve this game, I'm all for it. I go all over, you know, watching people coach. I get invited on all these telephone conferences we're having now since the pandemic. And, you know, I learn more than the people that are asking me for help. But I do anything to help this game and share what I was taught.
Great stuff, Larry. Please, you and your family, stay safe. Yes. We love that you came on with us, and we'll talk to you really soon.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.